or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Jackson and Melissa are here. We're going to go back live to downtown and talk more about the Duranguito Preservation Forum. We have Rick Kern on the phone. Rick Kern, how's it looking down there?
Oh, it's great. You know, we've got almost a full room. I think the auditorium seats about 250. There's about 200 in there now. And we just finished up with Evan Thompson. He's the executive director of Preservation Texas. And basically, the common thread that you're hearing here amongst all of these panelists is that, you know, you never regret saving something, but when it's gone, it's gone. And so he just finished talking right now, and Dr. Troy Ainsworth is coming up here pretty quick. He'll be the next speaker.
All right, very good. Rick, stand by. We're going to take this for about another 15 minutes, and then we're going to go back to our regular program. So we'll come to you one more time.
Sounds great.
All right, hold on there, please. And then back to the show.
You want to hold it or run it back in?
I will. We'll put it right here. Thank you, sir.
Good morning and buenos dias. It is good to be back in El Paso. I've been in exile for 8 years in far, far northern El Paso County, New Mexico. So bear with me. I would like to begin. My name is Troy Ainsworth. I'm with Camino Real Trail. The comments from Amy Webb a few minutes ago, I would like to just say I would like to repeat everything you said because it was spot on. And in preservation, as most of us are aware, it is so many of the blatantly obvious decision-making approaches, and yet not everyone shares that same perspective, which is why we have these competitions over land, over competing visions of what a place should be, what its identity should be. It becomes a battle royale in many ways over the have and the have-nots. And it's a very interesting examination of the human heart in conflict, as Bill Faulkner would have viewed it. I've kind of distilled it down to three very basic questions in my mind. Because we hear a phrase that's been adopted here in El Paso, it's been adopted in communities nationwide. We know it. We know it by rote memory. El Paso, a great place to live, to work, to play. Minneapolis, a great place to live, to work, to play. Orlando, a great place to live, to work, to play. We hear this nationwide, but it kind of rings hollow if you don't really have great places to live, great places to work, things, meaningful things to do. So you look at a distressed area in San Diego, California, that your parents say, roll up the windows, kids, and lock the doors we're driving through. To now, I can't find a parking spot under $35 for an hour because everyone wants to be right here. Okay, well, you can argue, well, San Diego, hey, come on, San Diego is San Diego, and we're not. Yes, we're not. I get it. I live just south of Albuquerque. I hear it there too. We're not the big city. Woe is us. Woe is us. No. What we are looking at is the fundamental challenge to a way of thinking. Most of us, in our development, growing up, binary decision making, right? It is either one or it is two. It is either choice A or choice B. On a more prosaic level, which do you prefer, Pepsi or Coke? You have two choices, right? So, we think about the built environment. Wholesale, new, so like Lidice, Czechoslovakia, Warsaw, Berlin, Coventry, England, they all had to rebuild after 1945, but they didn't have a choice. That's what Mr. Goering's Luftwaffe, what the SS, and what the Allied forces were capable of conducting mass destruction. Europe had to be rebuilt. We're not in Europe. We have a choice, and not a binary one, but we have a choice about what we want with our built environment, because it really does say a lot about who we are as people. I've been doing a bit of extensive research. Like most of you, I read the El Paso Times newspaper from 1881 pretty frequently. My wife is convinced I am crazy. But most of y'all knew that already. I've been reading the newspaper from 1881, and I'm writing the section of a paper right now that's going to be submitted to the Center for Big Bend Studies down here in Alpine. And I had the distinction here a few weeks ago with Mark Howe, who's seated back here in the middle of the room over on the edge. And we talked a little bit about the river, about architecture, about El Paso. And one of the things that's pretty fascinating is this is a great example of the phrase that history always gets repeated. In 1881, the El Paso Times, the editor at that time, a man named John Comerford, wrote extensively about the need to tear down the adobes. Tear them down. So the plat that you saw a little bit ago that was drawn in 1859 from Anson Mills, or William Wallace Mills, you're looking at the plat in that area, the first ward, the area that is the focus of our discussion today. In that area was the part that the new arrivals in El Paso were saying, you know, we've got to get rid of all this adobe architecture. They're shared and inhabited by people, horses, and pigs, and we're more civilized. And I'm not making that up at all. I mean, that's in print in the newspaper. And I'm really looking at this from a lens of race and identity and cultural definition and those factors. And I'm thinking of this in terms of that decade, the 1880s, and keeping in mind Derringito, and keeping in mind downtown, and really coming to grips with the fact that the more things change, ... So I don't know what it really says about us. I know we've had a couple of Freudian slips up here, so since we are at the Psychiatry Conference 2018 El Paso, maybe I can contribute one myself. I hope so. I really wonder, who pays here? And I'm not talking just in dollars. Who pays? In my mind, the loss of the wholesale loss of an area is an irreversible, irreplaceable community tragedy. I personally would not want to be a longtime resident of a neighborhood where most of my neighbors have been forced to relocate. And to know that my house, that my children were raised in, that my grandchildren come to see me, old man, living in a little house, all by myself, toward the end of my life, and to know that soon after I'm physically gone, my neighborhood is going to. There is something psychological on a very deep and humane level in which the places where we grew up, the places where we live, the places that we identify with, yes, they do change over time, but I really hope that you noticed, that you observed in the photographs in San Diego a moment ago, if you saw the historic black and white picture, and if you didn't know that that was San Diego, California, you might say that was San Antonio Street, El Paso at the same time. In some ways, I do want any town USA, but not in the way you're thinking. Anytown, USA, the architecture in the 1880s, the 1890s that was prevalent, commercial and residential architecture, had dignity, well-built, solid construction, and it helped identify an American place, which was pretty fantastic. And it happened all across the country, which is extraordinary. Now we see infill. We have the nice four-story brick building with the wonderful commercial building facade, and then there's a lower building beside it. And then you have the monumental block building like the Monarch Block here on South El Paso Street, designed by the English architect George Edward King. And you see traces of this. That kind of streetscape appearance is shared in downtowns in many other communities. So I bring that example up for the specific purpose. We do not have to approach things in a binary manner. If you choose A, you must forego B, and on and on. Pepsi drinkers can enjoy a Coca-Cola now and again. It is okay. It's not a jailable offense. It's fine. In one of your slides, you had these 5 points, Amy, about the overall program for heritage and cultural tourism. You noticed the one that was in the middle of the 5 arrangement. It had 2 hands shaking, right? Collaboration. We look at things as a them and us approach. It's not effective. It really does not accomplish much. It draws battle lines. And if battle lines are being drawn, ain't nobody right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds. You know the song. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The important thing here is that open lines of communication, dialogue, understanding of one another. We're dealing with a sensitive matter. The wholesale loss of a neighborhood, the potential for urban renewal, if we want to call it as such. I've yet to see a very successful urban renewal project. It is environmental mitigation more than it is urban renewal, because you eliminate the identity. And no one is going to come to El Paso or San Diego or any place of that nature to see the new Walmart, to see the CVS pharmacy on the street corner. Who pays? The cost is high, not just in monetary, but in identity. You've heard the terms authentic and authenticity, enduring value. Thank you for using that phrase, sir. Mr. Bryan, that's really what is at stake. Enduring value. And that an arena in and of itself is not a bad thing. We can't demonize an arena because of what it is used for. The question, at least in my mind, and I think in many of yours, is location. What is the cost to impose, after you take away decades and decades of history and in its place put down a great big sports arena? What is the cost? Physical dollars, memory. The maintenance of memory is so important. Is that a willing price to pay among the community? That is the question in my mind.
Out, Troy.
Damn, boy.
It is imperative, and I wish that in this audience there were a number of people who were very pro-arena revitalization, whatever phrase is befitting. I wish that they were in the room today.
They are.
They are. Good. Because we need to have people on both sides present. Cannot be a one-sided dialogue. It has to be open. There is a place for multiple perspectives. The 2 primary ones, preserve, revitalize, and of all the ancillary, equally important ones. That's my 10 minutes, my 2 cents. Buenas tardes. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a live forum downtown in the El Paso Public Library. It's the El Paso Preservation Forum on Restoring Duranguito. We're going to say goodbye to that event right now and by talking also to Rick Kern, our reporter on site. Rick, your thoughts on this? This is going to go on for a while, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be going on for a little while longer, Jackson. You know, the whole thing here is that, and I think the operative word here is collaborate. I think this could be win-win for everybody. You know, I think they just need to rethink about where that arena would be, if they could be some other place. Don't go in and raise the neighborhood. Make it work for everybody, because I think this is something that's happened in so many places. I've done a lot of traveling in my life all over the country, and I've seen places like El Paso, and it's worked there. There's no reason why it can't work here. All these people have great points, but there's a lot of common threads here in all of this discussion, and I think that the main thing is just go in with an open mind and do it for the right reasons, and I think everybody can be happy if they just rethink things out.
All right, Rick, that's going to wrap up our coverage live from down at the public library downtown. It will continue, and people should know we are video recording the entire event, which will be on YouTube within the next week or two, so you will be able to see and hear everything that's gone on, including what you told me, Rick, was a very interesting presentation on video. So that will be interesting. All right, Rick, thanks a lot for what you've done for us down there. And Melissa Sargent, we're going to get back into our normal swing of things here.
Yes, we are.
Including a couple of guests who have arrived from the event down there.
And a special guest all the way from Arizona.
Margaret Smith, we want to thank you for being here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here. And you have a relative named Trost in your history.
Yes.
Several of them. And we're going to talk about that with you in the second half hour. Also, Bernie Sargent is here. Bernie, you were down at that event this morning. You heard Rick's impression. What do you think?
I have to agree with him totally. Most of us that are looking at this with a common sense approach feel the same way, that an arena, sure, but not at that location. And then secondly, part of the video that was shown was talking about what could be done in the area, and they expressed an interest in preserving the Chinese edifice there, the old cleaners, which I think would be a great location for a Chinese cultural center. We could do an African American culture center in the neighborhood, a Native American cultural center, Middle Eastern, you know. So this way, when you're looking at Duranguito, rather than having a facility that is only used part of the year, maybe 100 days out of the year, you have an area that's used 365 days a year that attracts people to witness and enjoy the heritage and culture of the Southwest, the border community of El Paso and Juarez. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for the city to step back and say, well, let's look at this a little bit more constructively. I mean, are we going to benefit just a handful of people a short period of time during the year, or are we going to allow many people to enjoy and to learn from what we were and where we're going? I was amazed. That place will seat 250 people. It easily had to be 85% full.
So there's a lot of people interested in this. Bernie Sargent, thank you very much for your report from downtown.
And you betcha.
We're going to talk next week for a couple hours about various things, including maybe Zach White. But also, we may get some of this discussed again next Saturday on a radio show when you come back. And just to let people know, Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra at 10:35, you will have sitting in the studio J.P. Bryan and D. Margo in the ABC 7 studio. They seem to pretty much head up the opposing forces on this subject. Maybe they can get together at some point, and we can all benefit. We'll see about that.
Well, J.P. is such a great guy. I mean, like he opened his speech today, and I think most of the listeners heard it, where he said that he has nothing financially to gain from this. In fact, he has spent a lot of his own money for the benefit of the birthplace of El Paso. So financially, he's getting nothing out of this. But he's a great asset for the state of Texas, being a direct relative of Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
The guy's amazing. And
he's doing this to help save Texas history, which happens to be part of El Paso.
And he has a great exhibit, several great exhibits down at his Bryan Museum in Galveston that exemplify the history of El Paso.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a shame.
You guys were just there.
Yeah, we were just there. And you see Mexican Revolution history of El Paso. You see El Paso basic history. Well, it's like, it's in Galveston.
We're going to pick the rest of the hour. We're going to talk to Margaret about some of her relatives and their doings. And the Trost Society has got a lot going on here.
You bet.
So if you need to leave or stay, Bernie, you're welcome either way. But in the meantime, we're going to go to take one more break here. Shall we do that, Sergio? Oh, but first, let's ask We're going to go back to trivia questions and stuff like that.
Yes, we are, but we didn't get a chance to even ask any of the questions.
Oh, well, what are they? Are they any good? I had my piece
up there.
Of
they are.
What do they say?
Well, I have the first one is, and this is something that people could probably look up real easy by going to
henrytrost.org.
Mm-hmm. And where did the Trost family originally come from?
Oh,
that's
there's a
number
question.
One.
Okay.
And the second one is that won't be so easily found on there. So let's just go with one.
Let's make it easy. Name two of the Trost brothers.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you
they were originally the architects in El Paso. There was three of them, right? That worked here mostly.
Three,
mostly two guys,
but mostly two. We've always talked
and
about.
And just to give you a clue, they had similar sounding names. Did they not?
Yes, they did. Very similar.
These are your great uncles or just great uncles?
One great uncle, one grandfather.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So that's
and then,
how they
but then also, where were they from originally?
So, we'll take either one.
And
of
that's
them.
For $20 in food at Pepe's up there in KUT or an El Paso Gold DVD, which I have a whole bag I haven't even looked at.
Well, we'll get to those in a minute. But also, we now have two Pepe's to give away on this
that's
hour
right.
if we want to do that.
And the Pepe special this week, I'm going to throw this one out, is a chicken sopa. That is my favorite. I have that every week when I go in.
So it's you've decided it's the chicken
I've
sopa.
I've decided.
What, is that on the front of the page here?
No, it's under the soups, but it's chicken sopa. It's like, this is the perfect weather for chicken soup. It is the best chicken soup.
Well, you're giving people a 95-cent discount. It's a $6.95 purchase.
Then you get something.
Well, whatever. It's chicken sopa today. I don't think Roy's going to pick that one. So. Anyway, but I'm not going to make it out there today. I don't think any of us are.
No,
we got too many other scattered things to do. So we're going to take a break here and come back in a minute. Call us if you need to. And again, what's the two questions?
What are the names of the two brothers, the most popular brothers of the Trost architecture firm? Or where did the family originally come from?
What city in the
state of
somewhere in America?
Somewhere United States.
America.
Yes. America.
Somewhere in America. And if
yes.
you want to fool with that, we'll give you some Pepe's food, 5-4, whatever.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee. And you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. P3 Advanced has already taken Walmart by storm, but you can try a 30-day supply by calling toll-free. Call 1-800-458-1780. Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. If you're ready to cut down on bathroom trips, get your 30-day supply of P3 Advanced. Call 1-800-458-1780. 1-800-458-1780. 1-800-458-1780.
This holiday season, give the gift of taste. Wine and dine in style and shopping made simple to sensational from Mesa Street Grill. For every $100 you spend, receive $20 worth of gift cards and get one golden ticket to register to win their grand prize giveaway provided by National Furniture Liquidators, valued at $1,399. Hurry, because this offer expires December 24th. Mesa Street Grill, making holiday shopping simple to sensational. Located on the corner of Mesa and Sun Bowl.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152. Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to do it kind of out of order this.
Everything's out of order today.
Well, the history moment is going to have to wait till next week. However, we've got what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Why one doctor is seeking justice after the State Department shut down his medical clinic inside the big business of Visa medical exams.
Also in the Inc., an exclusive interview with Kris Kringle himself.
Why the El Paso police have rejected the city's contract offer.
El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only locally owned business journal.
El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, does the city finally have the upper hand in its quest to build a downtown arena? Historic preservationist J.P. Bryan and Mayor DeMargo join Saul Sines for a conversation about what happens next in Durangito.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra. Join host Saul Sines for a discussion on historic proportions of El Paso.
Or properties.
Oh, it says proportions.
It says could be either one.
True. Okay.
But it's a discussion of historic proportions.
Proportions. Oh. Thank you. Historic proportions. Okay.
Just tune in and figure it out.
I think we need to have a bell on that one. Ding! Round one.
Oh, wait, now.
I'm going to be watching.
I tell you what, it would be kind of nice if some people would get us a cleaner head and say, this history can't be moved, but an arena could go a lot of places, and can we just settle that issue and move on? And if that doesn't come to a possible nice solution for everyone, you will not be able to promote history in this town for decades.
Yeah, I wish people could know Mr. Bryan and see what he has done with his own money to preserve history in other areas.
So. The egos need to back off and get this settled correctly.
He's not an evil man.
Well, but let's ask somebody who was also in the room down there this morning,
and
Margaret.
Too.
Margaret Smith, you're back from downtown. What are your thoughts on that whole mess down there?
I wish that they could come together and try to work this out. It's been such a long period of time, and I feel that we need to move forward. And depending on what they decide, but something has to end and move forward.
That'll be nice.
So,
well, let's see what happens, because what was originally voted on is not what they ended up trying to do.
Right.
I was here. I voted in 2012. I was thrilled to have the opportunity to put a multicultural center in is one thing.
Right.
An arena somewhere in downtown. Hey.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really an arena, and it wasn't really just a cultural center for El Paso. Both of those things have got me kind of turned around on what I would vote for next.
Right.
I'd love to see it. But anyway, your view of El Paso is kind of a narrow focus, is it not?
Yes.
Tell us about that and who you are.
Yeah. Well, I'm the great-niece of Henry Trost, and my grandfather is Gustavus, who was also an architect in the firm, and then my great-uncle, Adolphus, is the engineer of the firm. So my focus is mostly on the architecture of the building, but I love El Paso history, and I've learned a lot.
You ever lived here?
No, actually, surprisingly, no. I've never lived here. My mom lived here.
Oh.
And was born and raised here and everything.
So you got ties here.
I have ties here.
And you're a Tucson person?
I'm a Phoenix person.
Phoenix. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You see the world from that perspective, and right. And you have quite a bit of Trost buildings in Arizona.
We have some in Arizona. We have quite a bit in Tucson also. But the interesting part is I was talking to where I work. They're doing a remodeling. And I was talking to the contractor, telling him I was going down to El Paso. And he goes, El Paso? I go, yeah. And he goes, I love that place.
Oh.
The architecture down there is amazing.
Oh.
And I hadn't even told him where I was yet. And he was talking about the architecture down there.
Did he mention Trost?
He didn't know who Trost was, but he just meant I filled him in on who Trost was and everything. But
are you writing a book by any chance?
I should.
Yeah, you should.
Because, she's got enough history.
Well, the histories that you're referring to need to be kind of like put in order.
Yeah.
And history is continuing here in El Paso as they took out several Trost buildings in 2012.
Right.
And finally woke up and realized that's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
I can't believe that the businessmen in this town didn't understand that they had standing stock that would make them a fortune, and they were scrambling to be quiet and secret to tear them down.
Right.
And it was stupid.
When I was down here trying to save the buildings, they didn't seem to understand how far Trost went out. And the people of El Paso need to figure that out, too. Trost's main lot is here, but there's further out in New Mexico, Arizona. There's even one building in Colorado.
West Texas.
Yes, West. And there's half of a building in Austin.
The Gage Hotel.
Yeah, the Gage Hotel.
So, and the point being is that people will follow this Trost Trail
right.
to look at tourism.
Right.
And there's the subject, what we want to do. We want tourism.
Yeah.
Right.
And so,
well, in fact, you've got a tour. We got a tour coming up in
March.
Yeah. Which would be interesting to how to start on one of the trails.
Tell us about that.
So what we're doing is we're going to start here in El Paso. We'll be riding the train up to Tucson. And then we'll be stopping in Tucson. We'll be doing a tour of historical Tucson and all the Trost buildings up there, which are quite a few. We'll also be doing a historical home tour up in Tucson. And then the next day, once we all rest after all the tours, we're getting in a bus and we're going to Douglas, Arizona, where the famed Gadsden Hotel is. And we're going to meet the new owners of the Gadsden Hotel who are painstakingly restoring the hotel. And it's just beautiful what they're able to do. And then after that, we'll be going up to Bisbee and meeting with the architect who was hired to restore a Trost building on the main street of Bisbee.
Oh, you know, last night we were coming back from your meeting, and we drove by Baker Glass.
Yes.
Make that connection.
Yes. So about a year ago, this gentleman reached out to me through my website, and he traveled Arizona, and he went to the Gadsden Hotel. So he looks up the Gadsden Hotel on the Internet, and it says that it's a Tiffany window that's in the Gadsden Hotel. And so it's not Tiffany. It was done by Ralph Baker of El Paso.
Oh, the Baker Glass.
Baker Glass.
Family. Oh, do you remember those commercials in the old days? Break a glass, call Baker Glass.
Yeah.
So, or break a glass, see Baker Glass.
But this goes back. I mean, the Baker, but I didn't realize the Baker family went that far back in the glass.
They're still here, aren't they?
They're still here.
Just right
over
here
on Executive
Center.
So the gentleman wrote a paper he reached out to me for the Trost history and then reached out to the Baker family for their history. And then in January of last year, we met at Douglas, the Baker family and the Trost family, and the gentleman who wrote the paper. And we talked about the Baker family, the Trost family, and then we went to the Gadsden and had lunch and met the new owners of the hotel.
You guys are just wallowing in history.
Yes.
because you're part of it.
Yes.
That's really interesting. Well, Margaret Smith is the lady sitting here. She's the relative of the Trost, and she's the one from Arizona coming to El Paso to help us save our buildings.
Constantly.
And now what you're referring to is a train trip from El Paso to Arizona. Right. How do people get involved in that?
If they want to get involved, the information's on the Texas Trost website.
TexasTrost.org.
Yeah. So you can go there and get all the information.
So it includes a train ticket.
Includes everything. It includes the train trip, includes your hotel, includes your food, Doesn't include your alcohol if you drink.
Oh, darn. Well, we'll bring your own bottle.
That's your problem.
But yes, it includes the tour. The nice last night of the tour, when we come back from Bisbee, we're going to do a Native American dinner.
Oh.
We're working with a Tucson travel agency.
Now, if we have to ask how much it is, we can't afford it. Is it one of those?
Well, I actually go on the website and see the prices, because I don't know exactly the prices. And they differ, because if you live in Tucson and you want to take this tour, you can join us in Tucson.
Without the train part of it and everything.
So you can make the deal around. Bernie's going to be a presenter. You're going to be a presenter. The gentleman you're working with. Who was the gentleman we were talking about? The architect.
Bob Vint, I think, is his name.
And he's an amazing. His background's incredible. Yeah. So, I mean, there's going to be some wonderful presenters.
So that's henrytrost.org.
No, it's at Texas Trost for the tour.
Yeah.
Are you having a Texas Trost and a Henry Trost coming together kind of thing?
Well, the Henry Trost is the more of the historical part, the listing of all the buildings done by Trost. And that's run by me. And it's supported by my family.
Okay, that's the family legacy site.
Texas Trost is Melissa Aris.
Yeah, and that's more, if you're looking for events and stuff like that, is more the Texas Trost site.
But that's what's going on there. Okay, that'd be very interesting. And you have people explaining the architecture as they're standing there looking at it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, have you torn down too many buildings in Arizona already?
No.
You don't have that problem like we have had.
We don't have that problem.
It must have just driven you nuts when you heard they were tearing the Muir building down.
Oh, it drove me nuts. And today, I still walk by, and it's a tragedy they had done that.
And that building was a very unusual building in that they built it like, what, three stories, four stories? Something like, but it was set, the foundation was set to go to 10 stories.
It was set to go higher.
They could have done it.
Yeah, and they just tore it down. They could have done it.
Can you imagine if you had too much money? And you went and got those Trost plans. Mm-hmm. Melissa, you could do this.
Oh, yeah.
If you had too much money.
Yeah, if I won the lottery,
Well, that's just it. We now grant you too much money. Now
I'm just paying.
Rebuild the Trost building.
Well, I'm just putting all that money into the lottery so somebody here will win the lottery and take care of that.
I put my $2 in so they can win.
It's the same with the Robert Banyard's building. They built that. Oh. That can go higher and everything.
We have a call. By the way, I want to thank the control room in there. They've been on the air, but they've been doing quite a bit to get the show on the air from downtown. And we have Evelyn Casari, who is our call screener. Yay! The crowd goes wild. And guess who else is in that room in there?
Sergio Valenzuela!
He's the man we need to know about. Thank you both for what you're doing in there. And you do have a call coming in right now, 544-5876, and it gave us a guy named Duke. Hey, Duke, we got you on the radio. What's up?
It's the Duke.
Yes. That's Duke from up in La Luz, New Mexico. I heard tell that supposedly a great niece of Trost saw the red brick schoolhouse in Tularosa and said that resembled a Trost design.
Yeah, it resembles, but we still have not confirmed that's a Trost.
They're thinking about it, though, Duke. Yeah. It might be.
We're
still
researching it.
Maybe.
Do you have any information on it, Duke?
No, just that I heard it. One of the girls from Tularosa on the radio was saying that.
Did it might be a Trost? Yeah.
Did you go to school there?
Thought it might be a Trost design.
All right. Well, I think we're in a negative and positive territory simultaneously. We don't know. But it may be. So. Well, stay tuned. We'll find out if we can.
Okay, just wondering about it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate that. You know, there are Trost buildings all over the place. We mentioned Marathon. In New Mexico, you have this one maybe in Tularosa, but something. Right. There was a golf course or something in Las Cruces?
Las Cruces, yeah.
The main house for the golf
The main house building? For the golf course was done by my grandfather, Gustavus.
Okay.
Trost and everything.
Okay, so what's so unique about the Trost people? Is it the name? Or is there something you just can tell it's a Trost, like he's trying to in Tularosa? Or is it just like, okay, we got something cool, let's push it? What is it about the name and the building? Are they really worthy of all this excitement?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think with Trost is Henry Trost was an architect or an artist in his early years. He used to go down to the docks in Toledo, and he used to sketch the people coming in and out from the docks. He was an artist. So if you look at any Trost building, there's some art on the building.
Oh.
It's just not a red brick building.
We'll take the Cortez Hotel downtown. Tell me the faces that are up on that building.
There's all kind of the conquistadors and everything like that.
It's like a puzzle. You stand there looking at that like, wait a minute, there's a face over there. And didn't he put his own face on some building?
Yeah, the O.T. Bassett.
Bassett, okay.
He put his face on
that. So you go stand in the street
at
Bassett and you can see him.
Yeah,
well, that's
his face
way cool.
on there.
And so what's the big deal about it? I mean, is it just like cool stuff or...
No, it's just nice to... I mean, when you look at a building, if you look at a building nowadays, it's just a building.
A box.
A box.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Hotel Cortez or the O.T. Bassett or the Lourdes buildings in Arizona or
the Plaza,
Plaza or any of the buildings, there's some art somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Like in El Paso High School, there's art in a high school. You look at a high school building today, you're not going to see any art.
Oh, no. It's going to be a bunch of boxes stacked up. And you got El Paso High is like one of the biggest architecture moments in our city.
Yeah,
frankly.
So it's the art, I think, that makes the buildings. And also give credit to my great uncle Adolphus, who did the structural engineering of the building.
Let's get to that, because an architect is normally known for what the building looks like, but the reality is he or she is in charge.
You've got to make it stand.
The thing is still standing up and working.
Right. So my uncle Adolphus, he came here in 1908. And he left Toledo, and he never went to school for engineering. We can not find any records of him going to school. He was just a mathematical wizard.
Was he good at Lincoln Logs? Do you know that? Yeah, I bet he was. Back in the day, you know.
Yeah, just go chop him down and make his Lincoln Logs.
Yeah. It was funny because when my mom used to go have him help her with her math homework, she goes, he would just do it. She didn't know how he did it, but it was just done correctly. So,
and no formal training.
No formal training.
Well, the buildings are still standing, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, what do you do there?
Yeah. So, but when they were engineers in the reinforced concrete, and that's where Adolphus came into light in the firm because of the structural engineering part of it.
1910, approximately, they begin construction, didn't they? When was the Mills building?
1910, right?
Okay,
right,
so wasn't that the big first one they did?
That was the first one.
Describe that, because that's concrete.
It's all concrete, and they ended up having their offices on the eighth floor.
But in the past, everything was wood.
Wood.
Like the hotel across the street that burned down, Sheldon.
Right.
The fire started on the top of the Sheldon, and they didn't have enough fire equipment to hit the top of the building.
Right.
And that's one of their problems.
Right.
But then the fact was they just watched it slowly burn all the way to the ground. And so,
urban renewal.
When you put a concrete building up, you do have less of that.
You're not having a fire problem.
I mean, the contents could still burn, but
And when they designed the Capitol building in Arizona, they asked Henry Trost to come by and give him information on the reinforced concrete.
Well, that's the whole point. El Paso was the pioneer location for him to build. Was that one of his first big ones?
Yes.
The 10-story Mills building.
Mills building.
And that's still standing today. That's been renovated back into it's a look from the original.
Yeah. It looks originally from what it was that day.
That's an interesting history. And so that is why people want to come see a Trost building.
Right.
They want to see something that was originally interesting and now restored.
Right.
And they go stand there and go, ooh, ah, and then they want to go in it.
Right. And see how it's restored.
Yeah.
And if you go inside, you can see the original, you know, bricks and stuff like that up above.
So
if you look up.
We're talking about a substantial tourist industry. Right. Once they find out what we have, they'll probably show up and look at this.
Right.
Unless we keep killing the buildings.
Right. If you keep killing the buildings, there's nothing to see.
Well, you can have murals and plaques. Isn't that exciting?
And we can have books with drawings in them. That's not going to work for you?
Sorry. No.
Margaret Smith is the lady in here with us this morning. If you want to give us a call, 544-5876. We're sitting here talking to Margaret. And we're talking about industry in downtown. Sergey, do we need another break or not? Do it now? Sergey wants to take a break. Should we do that?
I think he's worn out in
and
there.
And we just gave the clue out for where the Trost family came from.
Yes,
if you think you want to deal with a Pepe's $20, you can still call us on that number.
That's right, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Take that one out. Are we back on the air here?
Are we back?
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, visit GetDentalInfo.com for affordable coverage. That's GetDentalInfo.com. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away, so you can go online today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. It helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. This coverage from Physicians Mutual Insurance Company is ideal for people who are retired or on Medicare, or for anyone who can't get dental insurance through work. Go to GetDentalInfo.com for a free information kit with all the details. That's GetDentalInfo.com. GetDentalInfo.com.
Dell Small Business Tech Advisors give you tech advice to help your business grow. Save on select business PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors till the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget, plus get free shipping on everything. Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today. 877-BUY-DELL.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/today. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/today. That's 4hims.com/today for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/today.
See website for full details. Not all services through the Hims platform are available in all 50 states.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Ah, Jackson Polk is here. Hey, full title there, big dude. Ooh. Hey, but no, we got a couple of callers on hold to tell you real quick. Bernie will be here next week, and we're talking about all kinds of A to Z El Paso history. Get a recap maybe what happened today at the Duranguito Preservation Event. And we're going to take a look maybe at the life and history of one Zach White. We'll see how that turns out. Scott Cutler after that on December 30th, plus Mike and Ruby Ann Gaglio.
Ah.
That's like putting cats in a bag, man. They're fun. And so they're going to talk about historic land preservation around El Paso. And more coming up in January. We've got the firefighters of El Paso, the history there. So all that's coming up here. And you got something relatively quick to say?
Yes, I do. We got a book premiere coming up, Pirates in the Desert. This is going to be Sunday, December 16th, which just happens to be tomorrow, at 3:30 p.m. at the Adobe Horseshoe Theater in San Elizario. And it's going to be this is a book of essays and illustrations done by Sam Sanchez Sr., and he's giving us an intimate view of the transformation of the Rio Grande region at the southern tip of the Rocky Mountains chains. And this is a great book. It's based on the sun-baked territory that became sometimes violent.
And Sam wrote it.
Yeah, Sam wrote this, Violent Interchange of Ideas, Cultures, and Political Systems. And Sam has some great stories.
It's tomorrow, Adobe Hosting.
Tomorrow, yeah, 3:30 p.m. Get down there and check it out.
Real quick, today, Polar Express is the movie down there at the El Paso International Museum of Art, December 15th. That's today. That'll be at 2 o'clock. Get down there at 1:30. All right, we got a couple. Margaret, real quick, name and number and website for your tour on the train.
The website is texastrost.org. The train trip will be at the end, towards the end of March, and it will go from El Paso to Tucson. We'll tour Tucson historical history and the homes, and also Bisbee and Douglas.
That'll be fun.
Yeah,
fun.
And I put that link for the Trost Society up on the website. So our
we're
going
to go
page.
To Norma. Norma's on the radio. Norma, what's up?
I used to live in a Trost building, and I can tell you that they were just wonderful. When I lived there.
Which
I lived
one?
There for about 2 years. It was actually down the street from where he lived, from the original home that Malcolm McGregor had.
Oh, yeah.
On Prospect.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that. You'd recommend a Trost building to anyone?
Always.
Okay.
It was very hard to get into to live in these apartments. And unfortunately, for many people, they didn't have that opportunity, but I did, and I snagged that opportunity as quickly as I could.
There's somebody who knows what they're talking about. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, well, now we're going to go to Robert. Robert, on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Okay, I have a trivia
question. My gosh. Okay.
Make it quick. We're almost out of time.
Which questions do you have the answer to? Where they were from?
This is Rust and Adolphus Trost.
Oh, the two Trost brothers? You got them right. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Adolphus and?
Gustavus.
Gustavus. You got that right. Okay, we're going to put you on hold here, and Evelyn will tell you how to pick up your prize, which could be Pepe's or a DVD. You want Pepe's?
Yes.
Okay, hold on here. Hold on here. And then we'll appreciate that.
Thank you for listening.
Call back.
Oh, no.
I hung up on the guy. Robert, call back immediately. All right, we've got to get out of here for now. We want to thank everybody's patience because the first hour of what we did, we had a live event from downtown. The audio was coming and going.
One of the first ones we've done, though, with this remote equipment. It's
so
great.
So we took a look at it, got a shot at it, and we think the equipment works great. What we're going to do now is we have also a camera in the room down there with another audio recording, and that will be compiled and put on YouTube as soon as we can get it on. So the entire preservation forum for Durangito is something that we definitely will be putting on the air. We're out of time here, so we're not going to be able to take another caller. We appreciate them looking at that. We'll see everybody next week. We got to come back and do this again with Bernie.
And thanks to Rick Kern for doing what he did down there.
Excellent
today.
Stuff down there. And thanks to the staff of KTSM in the control room, down on site, and the engineers that put the box together.
That's
we appreciate it. And Margaret Smith, thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome.
In
thank
person.
You.
And thank you for you're always listening out there somewhere.
Always
right?
listening. Always.
Thank you very much for doing it. Sergio, again, in the control room there with Evelyn, thank you all very much. We're out of time here. We'll see everybody next week right here on the El Paso History Radio Show, ephistory.com. For details about the show.
That's right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
This holiday season, iHeartRadio has partnered with Red in the fight to end AIDS. Whether you love the color or the cause, when you shop Red this holiday season, you are a powerful force in the fight against AIDS. Shop a galaxy of Red products at Amazon.com/Red and choose from hundreds of products that raise money and save lives.